Welcome back, folks. Thanks for making us a part of your South Jersey afternoon here on News Talk 1400 WOND. Always good to be with you, and magnificent Monday. I dubbed it Manic Monday earlier, but no, it's magnificent. It's a beautiful day out there. You can't beat it with a stick. Good
it
to see you.
It is pretty nice out. Thanks.
Good Eric to see you. Rich in the studio, folks, as usual, every other Monday here on the Klein Time program, and then in between on Mondays on Middays with David Spatz. Nice to see you, Eric. Beautiful weather. Nice spring's in the air.
I love it. I hate everything about winter.
March
so
Madness.
Me, I'm happy.
How you doing? Are you a follower of the NCAA?
I am. I'm doing okay. My first two aren't as good, but my last bracket is really pretty strong. I have, of the Sweet 16, I have 15 of the 16.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wait a second.
So I got beat up a little in some of the first rounds.
The Sweet 16, you got 15 out of the 16.
I got 15 out of the 16.
Whoa, holy mackerel.
But the problem is this one, I went a little crazy towards the end on some upsets and things like that as we get further down the line. So I don't know how well that's going to work out for me.
But. Yeah, but so far so good, man. Yeah. That's impressive that you got 15 out of this. You got to start breaking out the probability calculator on that one. Yeah,
and I have, I had Michigan State all the way for the other two, but I have Duke for this one, so we'll see.
I haven't been following the college game during the course of the year, but of course, like everybody else, March Madness brings you in to the arena, so to speak. But because I hadn't really been following it, I rely on my son who follows it avidly, and I'm like, all right, Chris, give me the long. I want the long shots, but the long shots that have a decent shot,
right?
And he rattled them off, but they're not standing now. I mean, there was a couple there that had looked like they were going to do something, and they got knocked out. Between Saturday and Sunday, that was the end of that.
Yeah,
Cinderella stories.
Fortunately, my Cinderella's got whacked early.
We were talking about that a little bit.
I can't even. I literally had to turn the game off. Like I couldn't watch it any longer. It was so upsetting. I'm like, they were so unprepared for that game. It was like a high school team playing against a college team.
I mean, that kid was almost scoring at will. I mean, he's only 6 foot, and I realize he's fast as lightning. But, they were, standing still, and he's going around him doing layups and, flipping the ball off the backboard. And
they gave him every three he wanted. They let him take, and I'm like, well,
at what point is somebody going to step up and, challenge that shot?
Little defense would have been nice.
And then you pointed out, which is really remarkable, not remarkable that you pointed out, but it was remarkable at the time that I saw it. At one point, they actually were up more than Villanova had in their total. I think they had 24, and Purdue was up 26. They ended up being up as much as 30, 32, I think, at one time.
Unbelievable, yeah.
But anyway, disappointment for the Nova fans. No repeat for them, but obviously there's still a lot of action. Atlantic City is kicking.
Yeah, right.
When we talk about our area, obviously Atlantic City, this is a new territory. And from all reports, every weekend in town, beginning on Thursday, has been just jam-packed.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it, Eric, before we get into our talk about retirement and college planning, what's really cool about it for Atlantic City is that they took a month that was really a transition month where nothing was going on,
right,
other than St. Paddy's Day. That's about it in March. And basically now the whole month is alive.
Yeah, and the town's busy. You can really notice a difference. I was in town today. It was busy.
And that's exactly what we want to see happen, particularly during the week.
Absolutely.
All right, so it's always about, we talk about retirement, we talk about college planning. I was asking you before we came on about the fluidity of staying abreast of retirement from your perspective. In other words, your client is somebody who's relying on you and your expertise, and they might have the money, they might have a general plan of what they want to do when they retire. But you're the guy, you got to stay on top of all the rules, all the taxes. If they live here and they want to move there, you got to know what's going on down there and up here.
Yeah.
How intense is the job of staying on top of just the rules and regulations and nuances a governing retirement.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's an almost daily event. I go to two conferences a year. Both are 2 days long, you know, very intensive days, 7 in the morning till 6 at night for 2 days straight, twice a year, just on that topic, you know, just on rules, basically, law changes and rule changes. But, you know, periodically they're going to change all year, so you've got to constantly follow that. And now states are trying to make their own sets of rules and things like that. So it's really, fortunately, most of them are federal, but some of the states are trying to get involved in it. And it's really kind of crazy because it's a full-time job. Like, I could have someone on staff that did nothing but that as a job.
Just staying on
top of changes. Yeah.
Of the changing environment, governing retirement, pensions, all the things, the savings, investment, all that go into the retirement package.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, that's my night pretty much every day is, you know, I go home, have dinner, put the kids to bed, and a lot of
then
times...
Then you got to catch up.
That's all I do is spend the next
Did I miss anything
hours,
new? What happened new today?
What's changing, economic data, yeah.
And where does it come out of? Does it come out of Washington? Are you looking down at Washington, D.C. for the most part?
Pretty much everywhere, yeah. A lot of it comes out of Washington, you know, policy issues and things like that. And not just what's out, but what's being proposed.
Right.
And then what kind of support is behind some of those proposals, because...
You got to know what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help to drop a bombshell after it already happened, you know. So I need to know, you know, what bills are in front of, you know, Congress right now that could affect things, and how likely are they to get passed. And if they are, then what's the implication of that? So you're really not just looking at the changes, but you're looking at prospective changes, you know, over the next 1 year or so.
Rich Asset Management is his company, Eric's company, folks. Rich, R-E-I-C-H, assetmanagement.com. You can find out more information about them online. You know, Eric, there's so many different topics that we can talk about with retirement. Some of them we have talked about previously, but they really are so important. You can't really talk about them enough. And I was also mentioning to you one of the big takeaways that I've had from our conversations. Because, you know, I'm still young on the young side, but I'm you know, knocking on the door here. And the biggest thing is not the monetary aspect of retirement, which is very important to have enough money to be able to sustain yourself in retirement.
Yep.
But to me, the big takeaway is the time you're going to have on your hands. And then also, you're working, the spouse is working, you guys are home for dinner, you go to bed, maybe you spend weekends together. Now you're together all week.
Now it's 16 hours a day.
16 hours a day or whatever the case may be. That's something. That's an adjustment. You got to plan for that.
Huge. You know, the fastest growing divorce segment in the country is what they call gray divorce.
It's Get out! 65. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
I didn't realize how much I didn't like you. One of those.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and kids are grown, and now everybody's out of the house, and I got lots of free time, and now how much do I still like you?
Yeah. Right.
So it really is a big deal, and that's the whole thing. I mean, I always tell people, like, you know, a computer can do some of the investing. I mean, the money part of it is, I hate to say it's the easiest part, because there are a lot of very unique nuances to it. But generally speaking...
And the laws. Really,
yeah. You know, a computer can help, pick a mutual fund or a stock. That's not rocket science. The planning is where it's at. You know, so I always tell people, if you're looking for an advisor, you really have to find someone that's a planner, not a money manager. You know, money managing is the easy part. But planner is really, you know, a fiduciary planner is really what
I just
you
wrote
want.
That down, fiduciary.
Yeah, I mean, that's really...
Because that's very important when we're talking about this whole topic, because there are advisors, financial advisors, and there's a fiduciary, which is completely... It's a certified advisor. In other words, you have...
Different set of rules.
And you have state and certifications that you have to be a part of, whereas an advisor doesn't have to dance to those tunes.
Correct. Yeah, you basically operate under two sets of
laws. I bring it up because if somebody's invested their life savings in their retirement, I would venture to say you probably want to make sure that they've got some certifications and, you know, some longevity within the industry.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part is a lot of times, you know, you kind of just assume that, well, of course you'd have my best interest in mind. I mean, that's what you do for a living, you know. But the reality is a suitability standard is the norm, and a fiduciary standard is the heightened version, like, you know, like I'm subject to. And it is a different set of rules. You know, you're legally liable for recommendations, and whereas an advisor is not. So it's a whole different, you know, set of rules that you play by, and you really have to, you know, find what you truly believe to be the best thing for the client at all times.
That's awesome.
And you know, it's sad because, I mean, the public naturally assumes that everyone would operate under that standard, but they don't. They should, but, you know, unfortunately they don't, and the public doesn't know that. So,
yeah. Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Eric, we have a caller, Tom from Galloway, has a question for Eric.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Sure. Yeah, sure. Bring him on. Tom in Galloway, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Eric, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you. Hey, Eric, it's a tax question. I bought Sunoco stock last year. I guess it was in 2018, and I got a Schedule K-1, Form 1065. I've never seen one of those before for a stock purchase. Do you know what that's all about?
So a K-1 is different than a 1099 in that it's basically like it's the way that it's taxed, like a partnership, basically.
Okay.
So the taxation rules are different. And you're lucky you got it in time. Sometimes K-1s don't come out until April or May. So a lot of people have to file extensions because of K-1s. So it's just it's basically it's not. But think of it as a 1099 for a different type of tax structure is essentially what it is.
This wouldn't be listed on the overall tax.
Would not be on your 1099. No, it's a separate form.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, got it. That's all I needed to know, Eric.
You got it.
All right. Thank you kindly.
All right. Thanks for getting in, Tom. Appreciate the call.
K-1's a pain.
So that's you get a lot of that.
Yeah, they're a pain because they never, K-1s never come out on time, you know. And I always look a lot of times when I pick investments for people. And one of the things I look at is what's the tax reporting, because if it is a K-1, sometimes they come on time, but sometimes, you know, it's not uncommon to not see them come until May, you know. So, and then everyone's a file an extension and all this waiting for them, and everybody's upset about not getting them on time. But you know, it's just a different method of tax reporting. So,
in your capacity as a fiduciary and an advisor for retirement and college planning, on the retirement side, do you talk to your clients about medical issues as well, like Medicare and things of that,
yeah,
Social Security, and all those other things that are going to be a part of their retirement in some capacity?
Yeah. So the system we developed, which we call the Enjoyable Retirement Solution, is basically a combination of your retirement plan, your income plan for retirement, what assets to spend when to file Social Security, Medicare, all that kind of good stuff combined into one.
So
but then also
whole, you got a whole package together.
Yeah, exactly. So we have an entire system that we build for people to try and encompass every area, because that's a big deal. I mean, you know, a husband and wife that are 65 have a 70% chance of needing long-term care. So, like, how do we plan for that? So I'm not saying you have to buy insurance, but we have to assume that if that number's 70%, that's awfully high, how do we account for it? So, because, you know, that can really derail a retirement. I can design the, you know, best plan ever, but if you suddenly incur 80, 90, or 100,000 a year in expenses that I didn't plan for, how do we deal with it?
How do we deal with that?
So you have to basically cover every aspect of the plan, you know. And
every aspect of retirement. Now,
yeah.
Bob, God rest his soul, Bob Burns, was a specialist.
In the
Medicare and the Blue. Do you have to be somewhat, like, not a specialist like him, but do you have to be almost up to that same level in terms of, and that's also, if somebody were to come to you as a prospective client, is that part of the services that you provide in the Enjoyable Retirement Solution package?
It is.
That they wouldn't have to go to a Medicare seminar? On the side, they're dealing with you. They don't. I have what you need.
We don't sell it.
Okay.
So unlike Bob, actually sold the products, you know, which was great. Bob had a lot more knowledge in that area than me. I have to be versed in it enough to at least be able to say, okay, you know, if these are your kind of medical issues, then maybe this is the type of plan we have to consider. Because again, you know, I'm trying to maximize your income in retirement, but the way to do that sometimes is minimizing your expenses in retirement. So I've got to design the best plan because I can't have you have a ton of out-of-pocket medical costs with the, because you bought the wrong insurance, because that's going to screw up the retirement plan too. So,
just as an aside, I took your challenge one time. You and David were talking about the shutdown, the government shutdown. You were talking about employees, and David, I think, asked you, well, what would your advice be to those who might be affected by this? And you said, well, the first thing I would tell them is, you know, look at it, the cash that you're spending each and every day on the things that you're buying, right? Yeah. And when you said that, I started thinking, like, yeah, you know what? And so I actually, for a couple of days, I just kind of, you know, made a mental note of these incidental purchases, the cup of coffee here, the candy bar over here, $20 a day.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like much, $140 a week.
$140 a week, yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, at the end of the month, you got some kind of payment there. Yeah. You got a $500 payment to apply to something.
Exactly. $7,000 a year you could be saving. You know, now imagine that at 20 years old. That's millions of dollars at retirement.
But just being mindful of your daily expenditures really can put some more pocket money. I realize it's an aside of retirement.
No, but it's all the same thing. Like I said, it's all reducing expenses and making more income is exactly what you're trying to get to. So, you know, I always say, like, whether you earn it in interest or you don't pay it in fees, it's still your money.
Right.
So not only do I try to get people as much money as I can when I'm investing it, but I have to be fee conscious, because if I'm paying it all out fees, or they are, well, then we're not really solving their problem.
Right, right, right. So watching the expenses, really, I thought I'd mention that to you, because I actually practiced what you recommended, and you were not surprisingly 100% correct. All right, let's go. We've got a caller.
Nick, we have Bill Southree calling
in. All right, Bill, welcome to the program. Another caller checking in as well. 609-927-1100 is the number if you have a question for Eric or a comment. Bill, welcome to the program.
Well, how you doing, guys? My first comment is I get $20 a week, and then I panhandle the rest. That's how it works. But beyond that, you know, the economic situation in the country, I mean, you've got a lot of research you have to do constantly, because I have a family member, that his name is Rick Edelman. You probably know him.
I know Rick, yep.
Yeah, he's part of my family, and he told me years ago, you should be investing, and I said, well, I don't have any money to invest. He said, well, you better get some. I said, that's a good quote from him, but he didn't give me any, so. And he sits on like a $30 billion, you know, investment.
I was going to say Rick could. He could lend you a little.
Oh yeah, he could sneeze a couple of million out, you know. But he's a nice fella. He's a very knowledgeable man.
Yes, he is.
When I look at your situation and his situation, you guys have to really spend a lot of time knowing how to do these things. And us local yokels, I mean, it's very difficult to follow the market, understand the principles and all the goes ins and the goes outs. So could you recommend like an easy read or a good program that you could learn something about it? Because when you trust your investor, which I do, you never know, because I always ask him, how's your investments doing? And he goes, good. I said, why would you invest my money the same as you invest yours then? And but I never see his investments, so I don't really know what he's doing, you know?
Well, it's tough, because there's so much information out there that first, you have to assume it's not biased information, and a lot of it is, you know, because, again, a lot of times some companies putting it out because they want you to use their products or their whatever. So right away, you got to try to weed through what's, you know, trying to sell you something, for lack of a better word, guised as an article versus, you know, actual, like, general information, you know, and then different channels, different spins on it and all that kind of stuff. So it's tough. I like to follow the more...
It's best to deal with a fiduciary, somebody who, you know...
I mean, Bloomberg gives you pretty good advice, you know. Sometimes you get good stuff off of Vanguard's site, you know, but you want non-biased information as you can get your hands on.
But wouldn't you want somebody local, too? In other words, Bloomberg is Bloomberg.
Yeah, I mean, just for, like, something for reading versus... I mean, that's kind of what, like, the topic I brought today was index investing. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm just going to buy a bunch of low-cost indexes and let the market do the work. And it's a great concept, but it's a little deeper than that. You know, we'll go into that in a little bit.
Yeah,
what is an index?
Well, an index basically...
Book, you know?
So an index basically is an unmanaged grouping of securities. So like the S&P 500 is an index of 500 companies that make up the Standard & Poor's, and it's unmanaged. They put all those funds together, and basically, you know, their stock price is the S&P 500 added up.
And what, you buy in the average?
Yeah, and you basically are, so when you buy one share of that index, you're actually buying 500 different companies instead of one.
Right.
So it's kind of
diversification. You're hedging yourself.
Yeah. Yep. And because it's not traded or anything like that very often, it's traded once in a great while when a company comes in or out of the index, but generally it's not traded all that much, and therefore it doesn't cost very much. So you're kind of buying the whole market, at least that segment of the market, and we'll talk about that too. So it's kind of a low-cost instant diversification type of thing.
It's a safe. Is
well,
that a safe
it's,
area?
It's,
or is
it's
that...
all stock, so okay. it's going to move exactly. You know, it is the market, so it's going to move with the market. But, you know, the problem is a lot of the advice has become, well, just buy an index and leave it alone. But what we'll talk about today is, like, which index and what type of index and weighted or unweighted.
Ah,
you know, there's
good.
So many components. It's not always as easy as that. So, unfortunately, I wish there was one resource to go to. I probably literally, not kidding, I probably go to 50 different resources, probably 10 of them in any given day. So it really is hard to, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I should be an aggregator of data and make it easy for people to understand. I'd be richer than I am.
Hey, folks, Bill Southwick, stay
Thanks,
right
Bill.
There. We're going to put you on hold, give you an opportunity to finish up your comment on the other side. ABC News coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I just realized, Eric, well, you sent me a note. I really didn't know what it meant, but now I know. He's busting my chops because he thinks I'm being cheap, trying to save a couple of dollars on a cup of coffee. Stay right there. Klein Time continues here on News Talk 1400 WOND, South Jersey's News Talk leader. Back in a moment.
WOND.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Berman says attorney Michael Avenatti is facing charges of extortion for allegedly trying to get more than $20 million from Nike.
When asked by a lawyer for the company why the company would agree to such an arrangement, Avenatti responded in substance that he had the company in a very vulnerable position where he could wipe out $5 to $6 billion of its market capital.
Avenatti's facing federal charges in New York, also Los Angeles, for bank and wire fraud. Prosecutors say Stormy Daniels' former attorney allegedly kept settlement money in another case, but told a client it was never paid. Three sources tell ABC News that Ethiopian investigators handed over raw data from the flight data recorder over the weekend to international partners taking part in the investigation into this month's doomed flight. That includes NTSB and Boeing. Chicago police say two men are facing murder charges for the shooting death of an off-duty officer over the weekend. Before the bell, the Dow's up 4 points. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Seashore Gardens Living Center enriches elder lives. You know who they are, but do you know what they do? Seashore Gardens is a bridge between hospital and home. You can rehabilitate from an injury or a surgery while enjoying home-like amenities on their beautiful campus, like the Atlantic City-themed boardwalk and cafe. Seashore Gardens is a nonprofit healthcare community offering long-term nursing and assisted living, plus Alzheimer's and dementia services, including support groups and Alzheimer's outreach. Independent housing and home health care are also available. Your visit is always welcome. Go to seashoregardens.org or like Seashore Gardens on Facebook, or come and visit on Jimmy Leeds Road at Parkway Exit 41 in Galloway. Call 404-4848 to schedule a tour today.
Seashore Gardens Living Center would like to say thank you for voting them Best of the Press Gold for assisted living 3 years in a row.
Hey, Ma, roof's leaking. Where's the ladder?
Oh, no, you don't. I'm calling Surf and Turf Roofing. Surf and Turf Roofing. From the surf of the shore to the turf of the mainland, Surf and Turf Roofing is ready to work for you. Available 365 days a year at 609-365-ROOF. We're family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with free estimates and financing available. Surf and Turf Roofing is proud to serve our community while protecting our environment. With over 10 million tons of shingles dumped in landfills each year, Surf and Turf Roofing pledges to recycle your old shingles at no additional cost, keeping them out of our local landfills. With our office located at 4035 Ocean Heights Avenue in Egg Harbor Township, you can stop in or call 609-365-ROOF. 609-365-ROOF. Mention this ad and receive $100 credit towards your new roof. And don't forget to ask about our new affordable maintenance programs. Hey, Ma!
The power of prayer can do many things. Some people believe it can even move mountains. And it doesn't have to be a formal thing. Just a one-on-one between you and God is just fine. Or you can pray each Sunday at 11 a.m. with a congregation of Heaven's Way Baptist Church, 5082 Tremont Avenue in EHT. Additional services are listed on Facebook. Come worship, learn, and pray at Heaven's Way Baptist Church.
Hutchinson is bringing back our epic BOGO. Buy one furnace or AC unit, get the other free. Visit HutchComfort.com. That's HutchComfort.com.
Listen weekdays for Off the Press with Scott Cronick, sponsored by Shore Physicians Group, right here on News Talk 1400 WOND.
Live and local radio you can depend on for accurate news and stimulating talk. News Talk 1400 WOND, South Jersey's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Klein Time program. We got a couple of callers. We'll finish up with Bill Southree and then John's in EHT. You can get in too if you like, 609-927-1100. We're talking with Eric Rich of Rich Asset Management about retirement. He is a fiduciary. You can check out more about his company, Rich, R-E-I-C-H, assetmanagement.com. And if you're getting close to retirement, or even if you, no, there's no age, right? Even if you're young, you can call, if you're not like me and you want to plan ahead, the younger the better, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love getting a hold of kids in their 20s and teens and 20s because, man, they, you know, a small amount of money makes a fortune over a long period of time.
And you can plan effectively.
Absolutely.
In that circumstance. All right, let's go back to Bill, and then we'll go to John and EHT. Bill, welcome to the program. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging in.
Situation, I'm 64, and I planned for the kids to go to college, so I paid as they went, and then I got the bachelor's degrees all done, but now they have to pay for their master's, and they still have hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
And as for me, I'm cash poor. I got food, I got air, I got a roof over my head, so I'm happy that way. But I was asking, is there any limited amount? Like if I were to say, let's say somebody like myself came and said I had $50,000 to invest, is that something your agency would consider to have to be a larger investment than that?
No, we don't set a minimum. You know, I know a lot of firms do, and I get why. You know, it's tough from a profitability standpoint, but the whole basis of our company is like we do this to help people. So if we start discriminating based on how much money you have, well, then the people that need it, I mean, if I have $50 million and I don't need a lot of advice, even if I make a lot of mistakes, I'm still fine. You know, if I have $50,000, then it's, I would venture that means a lot more to you than it does $50 million to somebody else, you know? So therefore we don't discriminate on that. We just don't believe in that. So there's,
that's
we don't set limits. Yeah.
Maybe I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, sounds
I'm not
good.
I have 50,000 yet, but I might get it someday.
Fine,
hey, Southree, Bill, thanks for getting in. Appreciate the call.
If I don't give it away, I'll become invested with you.
Well, See, that's the thing with you. It's not that you don't have the 50 grand, but you get the 50 grand and then you give it out. So,
I was going to say, thanks for all you do, too, Bill.
So let's go. We've got John's in EHT, and you can get in as well if you have a question or comment for Eric Rich on retirement or college planning. 609-927-1100. John and EHT, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Eric.
Hey, John.
Hey. You got a lot of things to say here. You're talking about you love to grab kids in their 20s. You've got Cordy.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got Connor.
Right.
They'll definitely be going to you. And you also talked earlier about credentials and credibility. I think that was correct, right?
Correct.
So over time, your segments on WOND really are what swayed me. I had financial advisors in the past. You and I have talked about one of them. And they were, you know, less than effective and or honorable. And I listened to your show over a long period of time. And actually, as you know, it was your segment on college applications and your help with FAFSA and all that, that kind of hooked me, and I got my wife interested, Nancy, and we came to you. And but you have built so much credibility, in my opinion, over the years, with your consistently sincere and hype-free advice. And you've offered free advice. I mean, you could have charged for all of this, but, you know, and that leads to trust. And I think that you made some wise decisions, and I'm glad I met you.
Thanks. Appreciate it, John.
On the bear market, what is there a bear market coming?
Well, there's always a bear market coming. The question is when. I don't think it's imminent. I don't think I think December was a pressure release valve. I think 2019 is going to be strong, barring any major thing. You know, even we were talking about things you got to know about, but like the Mueller report, you know, that's a big issue because, again, if the Mueller report went the other way, you know, then is our position weakened with China? I mean, you have to question that. And then if trade with China doesn't go well, you know, the economy follows.
And so, then also the other side of the, or the off to the side portion of that is how much of an effect has the whole investigation had on their, you know, is everybody waiting to see what happens?
Yeah, exactly.
With Trump. So they stay on the sidelines. Let's see what happens. Maybe he's not going to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is a good, I think this year's positive personal feeling. I think the market will probably be pretty strong. It's also the third year of a presidential cycle, which is always the strongest. So I would expect a pretty good year. If I were guessing, I'd probably guess, pure guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% up. But
wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's a pretty strong year. But, you know, you start to get too much past that, and you do have to wonder, you know, how much further it does have to go without a bigger drop. I mean, the 19.5% was literally just short of a bear market, technically, which is 20%. But, you know, I think there's a bigger one coming. I think we're probably going to get something in the mid-30s, but I think it's probably a year or two away.
As part of your, just excuse me one second, John, as part of your planning, because obviously it's more than apparent, you do a lot of forecasting. You do a lot of looking down the road. You have to in your capacity. This is probably a very delicate topic, but what about the prospect of robotics, automation, job displacement as a result of computer technologies? Is that something that you're looking at now, or is it still developing? Is that picture?
I look back in history on that, and if you go back to the, you know, industrial age, I mean, essentially technology, yes, has eliminated jobs, but it's also created new and better jobs.
Okay.
And higher paying jobs. So at the end of the day, while there will be some sacrifices in jobs with you know, robotics and technology and particularly artificial intelligence,
you'll be confident there's new industries emerging.
Always, I mean, if you go back throughout history and look at every major change in the world, it's all been for the better.
Okay.
And if you look at you know, per capita income and GDP, we've gone from 4,000 to 48, you know, thousand since 1900, inflation adjusted. Well, it's still 10 times the standard of living. So even with that, you'd have to assume it's going to be a net positive.
Hey, Dan?
Yes, John?
I just like to add, I completely agree. As an amateur historian and as a person who's worked in the technical engineering field for the last 30 years, every time that a new technology comes in to erase an older one, the net result over time is increased prosperity and employment.
I realize that has always been the history. The only hesitation on my end, and of course, certainly I'm not a professional or an expert of any sort, just a person with maybe an overactive imagination. But, you know, my point is that that has all been true in the past. We might be dealing with something a little bit differently in terms of computer technology. But then again, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the market, it's the same thing. Every time there's a market crash, people say, well, this time it's different.
Right, because this
was a financial one, and last one was housing. You know, in the late 80s, it was a savings and loan crisis. It's always a different reason, but it's always the same end result. You know, so I think John's absolutely right. I think it's, you know, every every technology expands, doesn't contract.
Going to bring with it new technologies and new jobs. Hey, John, any other comment before we segue up?
Hey, just one more thing, just for you tomorrow, Dan. Tomorrow is a great day in medical science history, so I'll be calling you.
Okay. I'm going to check it out between now and then.
Hey, Eric. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. John over at EHT.
John is the history guy.
Unofficial history.
I'm telling you, that guy knows everything there is to know about history.
The unofficial historian, I swear, of the Klein Time program. I'm going to have to check out the medical history that takes place tomorrow. Try and get ahead of the curve a little bit with John. We're talking with Eric Rich, folks, about retirement and college planning, mostly about retirement today. And his company, Rich Asset Management, you can follow along online at R-E-I-C-H, richassetmanagement.com. And you brought along some information on index trading.
Index investing, yeah. So when Bill was saying, you know, a lot of people just say, hey, you know, buy the index. You know, I don't really need the advice because the index gives me everything I need. And I like indexes. I like them because they're low cost. I like them because they're well diversified sometimes. And often it's perceived that it's hard to beat the index, and that's probably true of a lot of companies. There are a handful that consistently beat
them. I don't want to take you off stride, but you know, many questions pop into my head. Is the goal to try and beat the index or ride the index?
The index is ride it. You know, the goal with index investing is just whatever the market does, that's what I want to do, minus my costs. And, you know, hopefully that number is as small as possible in terms of cost, and I win. Because whatever the market does, I do.
Right.
But the reality is the average investor averages almost 4% less than the market over time. And why is that? You know, and the reality is it's behavioral issues, you know, because, again, they get panicked, they get scared. And the other things that the computer can't help me with is calming my fears when, you know, I see the market tanking or I hear bad news or something, you know, or a war starts somewhere. So, you know, that's the problem is when times are really good, an index is really popular. Market goes straight up, it's really hard to beat an index. When things go sideways, it becomes a little easier to beat an index because an index can't change. It's immovable. It is what it is. So as I mentioned to Bill, you know, an index is a consolidation of funds, and it's not managed or anything. It just kind of exists. And then it's replicated because you can't buy an index directly. So companies like a Vanguard Index 500 go out and replicate that index. And then there's literally thousands of indexes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I wrote a note here. Different indexes. So what you're saying is you got the S&P 500. That's one index.
And then you got the
Dow.
That's
the one everybody knows. You got the Dow, right?
Which everybody knows.
Then you have like a tech stock index.
Well, then you have the Russell.
And then like smaller indexes. Or how about high risk indexes?
Yeah, then you've got biotech and you've got just the NASDAQ. So you have all these things that are like an index, even though technically NASDAQ is a trading platform. So you have a lot of different indexes. So when people say, hey, I'm just going to buy the index, they say it almost like it's a thing. And I know what they mean. They mean the S&P 500. But my response is always, listen, there's hundreds of indexes. I said, even of the S&P 500 index, I said, which of the three do you want to buy? And I always get this kind of blank stare. I said, there's three different index 500s. There's a price-only one, which is just that. It measures the price of the 500 companies. There's a total return, which is price and includes dividends that get reinvested. And then there's a net total return, which is price plus dividends net of taxes.
Okay.
So
now how do you determine which one
exactly
is the one to go with?
Exactly.
And does that depend on your financial circumstances?
Yeah. And then from that, it gets even more complicated, you know, because the Wilshire 5000, I mean, there's five versions of that one. So you start to see where it gets a little crazy.
Did you just say the Wilshire 5000?
Yep, so that's
5,000
companies.
So 5,000 top companies around the world?
Yeah, and that, there's five different versions of that with different, you know, again, dividend reinvest and not reinvest. But then from that, then you have weighted and unweighted indexes. So a weighted index basically says each company is weighted based on their size. So Apple, for example, is so large that it's 4% of the S&P 500 index. So it should be 1/500th of the index.
Right.
But it's not. It's 4% because it's an enormous company. So while that doesn't sound, 4% doesn't sound like a whole lot, it's, you know, and Apple's, you know, depending on the day, you know, $800 to $900 billion worth of valuation. But if it's equally weighted, it'd be around 0.2, and it's 4. So it's exponential. So it's 20 times the weight of an average company. So when you think you're buying an index and you watch it move, are you buying an index or are you buying Apple? Because if Apple's the biggest driver of the index, if Apple has a, you know, Apple can have a terrible day and everybody else can have a great day, and the index can still be down because it's such an enormous company.
Because they're only 4%.
And it's weighted, and it's so big. Whereas if you get an unweighted index, then Apple only counts as 0.2. So the question is, well, which one's better? You know, and there's pros and
cons. Depends on how much you believe in Apple, right?
Well, exactly. Or any other
500 players.
Yeah, so if you look at the 10 biggest companies, that's what you're really buying when you're buying. You're not really buying 500. You're buying 10 big ones.
All right, the scope of things that you have to stay on top of. I mean, just that aspect of what you do, the stock market, the various indexes, you know, the valuations of the different companies.
Yeah.
Who's coming up? Who's going? You know, who's going? I mean, you know, it's incredible that you're able to process all of this and still put it in the enjoyable retirement solution package that people can digest.
That's the key.
In a reasonable amount of time.
You need to not just be able to know it. You got to be able to translate it into plain language for somebody.
Right.
Because, you know, it's great that you know it, but if you can't teach it to somebody else in as simplistic of terms as humanly possible, then that makes it a little tougher, so.
Eric Rich is his name, folks. Rich Asset Management. Rich, R-E-I-C-H, assetmanagement.com is where you can get some more information. We got to take a quick break. We're going to do that. We'll come back on the other side. If you have a comment or a question for Eric, 609-9...
I'm Glenn, and I have three passions. My family, my Glenn Insurance customers, and the environment.
Yes, but what about turtles?
You're a talking turtle? I love turtles.
This insurance coverage of yours, does it include business?
Yes. You have a business?
I do. A cell phone company. We have to keep up with the times, too. I got the idea because I roam a lot. We only have landlines, though.
Interesting.
When I text, it gives me an awful headache. Hitting the shell of mine, do you cover for headaches?
No, we cover everything else. Do you have Twitter?
Yes, pound sign Tommy.
Tommy, we've been providing business insurance for over a century. From business owners' policies to commercial insurance, workers' compensation, property, professional liability, and more. We can even cover your shell phone company for business interruptions, like a cracked shell.
Great. Now I have to put my phone in the water. Our company does live streaming in the afternoon.
For business, Glenn Insurance. Call 888-OK-GLENN or visit glenninsurance.com. Exceptional people, superior results.
Shore Medical Center's registered dietitians are working with local restaurants to give our community healthy options when dining out. Look for the Shore Dietitian Approved logo on the menu at Clancy's by the Bay in Summers Point for healthier choices on appetizers, main courses, and daily specials. If you own or operate a local restaurant and would like to offer Shore Dietitian Approved menu items, call 609-653-3527 or email wellness at shoremedicalcenter.org.
Shore Medical Center.
Shore Urgent Care in Northfield provides fast, easy access to high-quality, specially trained urgent care doctors. Open 7 days a week with convenient evening and weekend hours, Shore Urgent Care provides you and your family with high-quality, patient-centered care in a comfortable setting. No appointments necessary. For more information, call 609-365-5333 or visit shorephysiciansgroup.com.
Shore Physicians Group, be well connected.
More savings, more offers, more ways to make your home comfy. That's what Hutchinson customers want. How do we know? Because you told us. You said, Hutchinson, we want more epic offers more often. Well, try this on for size. Buy one furnace, get one AC unit free. That's right. Buy one furnace, get one AC unit free. You asked for more, Hutchinson delivered. Big time. Visit HutchComfort.com for more. Hutchinson, expertly better.
You deserve a getaway. Book one of Borgata's many hotel packages, including dining, overnight stays, spa treatments, and more. Visit theborgata.com to view all hotel and vacation packages.
The USA Radio Network presents the greatest radio programs of all time.
Look, bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve. Yeah.
The new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, if you say help me, I'll mow you down.
Listen to Classic Radio Theater at its new time, Saturday nights at 10, here on News Talk 1400 WOND.
For complete and up-to-date total traffic in South Jersey, listen weekends to News Talk 1400 WOND.
Welcome back to the Prime Time Program. So great to be with you, folks. Don't forget, coming up after this show, Off the Press with Scott Cronick, 4 to 6. Lou Young from 6 to 7. Lars Larson from 7 to 10. And then, of course, the Magic Pipes of Jim Bohannon at 10 p.m. this evening. And then, of course, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., you can start your day the right way with Big Don Williams in the morning. You miss a moment of that, you miss quite a lot. And then Ann Baker, David Spatz, and then back to me.
God back willing, to you.
Tomorrow afternoon, which we'll also have Dr. Gerard Lamero on with us tomorrow. But right now we have more of Eric Rich, a couple of minutes left in today's segment of retirement and enjoyable retirement solution is what Eric puts together for his clients. And so if somebody's listening to what we talk about with regard to retirement, and they want to, how do they do? They call you up?
Yeah, best thing is to do, give us a call at the office.
Should they be close to retirement, or if they just got a, they got a young family, and I got a good job, and I need to put money away? I mean, I need a plan.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, just what I would tell people, like, call, come in. We don't charge for, you know, for a consultation, so we'll spend an hour with you. It won't cost you anything. You know, nobody's trying to sell you anything. And we'll just kind of talk about your situation. And if we can help you, then we'll tell you in what ways and capacity we can help. And if we can't, we'll tell you that too. And sometimes we look at what you have and say, actually, you know what, you're fine. You like the person you're dealing with, well, then don't rock the boat. Everything's fine, you know. So
if you're a young family, you got to plan ahead for the kids. If you got kids, college, this, that, and the other thing. Middle age, you might want to, you know, come in and make sure you're on the right road.
Ramp up the retirement, yep.
Ramp up the road. And then, of course, if you're older, you might have some catching up to do, and you might, that's actually an interesting question. Do you have an aggressive plan? If somebody came to you late in the game, they make a pretty good salary now. Maybe they didn't, you know, they weren't making that much, and they couldn't put money away, but now they're doing pretty well. And they need to ramp up to make up for lost time. Do you have a plan for that?
Definitely,
or is that
so
they got to go maybe talk to somebody else in that circumstance?
No, that's definitely something we do. You know, planning's planning, so it doesn't really matter. We, you know, whatever the situation is, my job's to find the solution for it. So
Eric Rich is his name, folks. Rich Asset Manager. 609-927-1100 if you got a last minute comment or question. We got a couple minutes left in today's program. With the indexes,
so tons of different indexes, you know, and again, what type is better? A lot of people think weighted is better because they're more popular, and they're also perceived to be safer because the bigger established companies make up most of the weight, therefore you assume they're a little safer. That's actually true, but by the same token, they're also considered less diversified. And so which is done better? If I went back to 1998 and I said, okay, weighted or unweighted, weighted is what people are used to, like a Vanguard 500 or an unweighted. An unweighted is significantly better in terms of performance, which I think it would shock a lot of people because they assume that, you know, that a weighted has done better and it hasn't. It's almost 2% less, you know, less powerful. So if that's the case, then, you know, you really have to be careful about what index fund you're buying. But remember this, put this in perspective. The price movement of Apple alone affects the index 230 times as much as the smallest company. So two companies, both in the S&P, the smallest and the biggest, it's 230 times the movement.
So Apple moves a little bit one way or the other, big, it's going to have a 230-time effect on the whole index.
As opposed to the smallest company doing the same thing. So it's not as diversified as you think, so you kind of want to be careful about that.
Now, are there smaller indexes of really high-performing companies that, you know, you can, there's like, you know, maybe thousands. An index of 20 of the top-performing companies in the country?
Yep.
And you
biotech, Justin Biotech, Justin Energy, Justin, like, any you think of it, there's an index probably that exists.
And who sets the indexes up? Somebody's organizing the different companies and saying, hey, we're putting together an index. Yep. You guys want to be a part of it? Or girls, whatever.
Well, they just stick the companies in it,
based on their performance and how they're performing.
By whatever metric they decide.
Right.
And they charge a couple points on it, and that's how they make money. So. But here's a quick note for somebody. If something's about to get added to an index, it's going to get added to the S&P 500. You hear about that? Buy it now, because when it gets added, every S&P index manager has to buy it. So the price usually goes
so
up.
Get
it. So buy it beforehand.
Eric Rich, always a great segment. Thanks so
Thank
much,
you.
Eric. Good to see with you. It's good to see you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple Mondays. From now. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for making us a part of your South Jersey afternoon. I saw Johnny X of the Ducktown was in Atlantic City, the big Democratic convention over the weekend. He's got the Ducktown Tavern there, Georgia Atlantic Avenue, running for city council in Atlantic City. We'll be talking to John, going to set something up, have him get in here and talk about the platform in Atlantic City. But the Democrat, they put it all together. They got there's going to be challenges all the way around. In any event, folks, that's going to do it for me today. In the meantime, don't forget, keep that dial tuned right here. Scott Cronick off the press, coming right up. God willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow. If you're out there on the roads, be safe, be smart, buckle up, keep your eyes on the other guys.
Live and local.